language. I have determined phi as a function of k as a moment of every combination, and I have determined delta gamma also as a function of k as a moment of every combination in terms of phi initial k. So spectra of the gravitational potential immediately after inflation, right? So all these formulas just give you a relation between this thing and this thing at the moment of recombination. Now, what is my next task? I have to go further and relate the things with observation, same observation, and in the observation, what I see fluctuation of temperature depending on the direction L, so it's unit vector which points out in direction L on the sky at present. And my next task is to express fluctuation of temperature through these quantities at the moment of recombination, okay, which in terms are expressible through the original perturbation spectrum. Correct? Correct. How we will do this? Now, first of all, let me recall you the evolution, the picture of the evolution of the universe. Here is energy density, and here is Z, redshift. Z equals zero corresponds to the present moment of time. As I told you today, we have tiny amount of radiation, but in past, radiation grows proportionally, inversely proportional to scale factor in power 4, or proportionally 1 plus redshift in power 4. We have today also cold dark matter and baryons. They grow, okay, proportionally 1 plus Z cube. So it's cold matter. And we have today, and at some moment of time, okay, these two lines cross, this moment of time, it's eta equality, and this eta equality, as I told you already, is proportional 1 divided by square root of omega cold matter plus baryons, h squared. H squared is Hubble constant, which is normalized on 75 kilometers over second over megaparsec. Yeah, so this moment of time, of course, depends how much cold matter we have today. And today also we have quintessence, so cosmological constant, which is constant. And of course, in the past it was irrelevant, it started to dominate only at redshift of the order of 1. But in order this cosmological constant, it determines geometry. Yeah, which we have here in this vicinity of us. Yeah, omega m. Cold dark matter. In principle, you have to take cold dark matter plus baryon, but because contribution of baryon is 5% compared to 25% of cold dark matter, for my calculation, okay, I will take this omega m to be equal to omega cold dark matter. Baryon, I will take into account only when I will be calculating the speed of sound. You see, but the contribution to the gravitational potential for the purpose of my calculation, I will neglect. So, the influence of plasma, I will keep. Now, this moment of time corresponds to zeta equality, and this zeta equality is about 5-10,000. But also we know that when Z was about 1,000, yeah, recombination happened. Because at this time, temperature of background radiation was 3,000 degrees. And when temperature of radiation was 3,000 degrees, radiation was not efficient to ionize neutral hydrogen atoms. So all free electrons, which were around, they came together with a proton and formed neutral hydrogen atom, and after this moment of time, there was practically no free electrons. Then cross-section of scattering on neutral hydrogen is, of course, much smaller than cross-section of scattering on the free electron. Yeah, and radiation therefore was not scattered after that, and the universe became transparent. So, okay, since then photons were like free photons propagated for free and bringing to us information about the state of the universe at this moment of time. Recombination, in fact, is not instantaneous process, as I told you, and the rate of recombination is determined by the rate of two quanta splitting of Lyman alpha quanta, or two quanta decay of 2s level of hydrogen atom. You see, and recombination effectively take place between Z 900 and 1200. You see this interval. There is good analytical approximation. Everything is described in my book, actually, all these analytical formulas. But you understand that the fact that recombination is delayed is quite important for two reasons. One reason that there is, in addition to silk damping here, there is extra smearing of the fluctuation of the temperature. Why? Because you never know, for instance, when you get photon, it came from here or from here. Therefore, the scales which correspond to the duration of the recombination, you just do not distinguish, yeah, in your radiation, because you do not know from where it came. It's called so-called finite sequencing. But this is important thing when you calculate fluctuation of temperature, but it's not so important as, for instance, for polarization, about which I will speak already next lecture, yeah, which will be final lecture. Because polarization of background radiation could be generated only if recombination has finite thickness, has finite size. And most of polarization is generated somewhere in the middle of this layer. If recombination would be instantaneous, then CMB would not be polarized. When people will observe and get precise curve for polarization, it also would mean they precisely measured how recombination was happening. You see, and they precisely measure this CMB, not CMB, but how it's called, the role. They measure, they see, in fact, not directly but indirectly, this two-point decay of 2s hydrogen atom, because it was determined in the picture of recombination. But now let me forget for a minute about finite duration of recombination, consider it as simultaneous, not instantaneous event. After that, I will correct my formulas, which will take into account this finite duration of recombination. Now, what next I have to do if I want finally to calculate this thing? I have to determine how light is propagating in a little bit in homogeneous universe, free photon. But before I will do this thing, okay, let me tell about other things, namely about cases when omega is different from 1. And tell you how can we measure omega, yeah, when we are using these CMB fluctuations. I think I told it already once, but let me repeat, okay? Let me draw you the picture of how we observe all this thing. So we are here today in position x0 at the moment of time at the zero. And then this is a quanta which comes from us to us from so-called last scattering surface. So some quanta comes from this direction. Well, it passed, okay, through, not to put it, doesn't come to us, okay, it comes to other galaxy. So the other quanta comes in this direction. If this last scattering surface, when photon became free, would be homogeneous, then temperature in this direction, temperature in this direction would be precisely the same, clear. But you know that there are inhomogeneities on this last scattering surface. There are inhomogeneities with the scales like this one. On the top of this inhomogeneity, there are superimposed inhomogeneities with the scale like this one. Their amplitude, relative amplitude, is fixed by the spectra. okay, which we have calculated there, and express through the initial spectra. And then you understand that depending on the scale in which you are observing the thing, you see the different statistical variation of the temperature. And you see the spectra. So now, if, for instance, our universe, there is some typical scale here, the last scattering surface, and this typical scale is h minus 1 at the moment of recombination. And what we know about this typical scale, we know that on the scales which are larger than this typical scale, nothing happened with the spectra. On the scales which are smaller than this typical scale, spectra has evolved and was given by this complicated formula. Yeah? Now, but what is the light on the observable sky, okay, which separates these two regimes of the evolution of perturbation? Okay, roughly speaking, is the location of first Doppler peak, which is given in terms of multiples L, and multiples L are related with the angular separation by this formula, yeah? P divided by L. So L about 200 corresponds approximately to what? 1 degree, 0.87 degree. You see, now, this scale H minus 1 could be calculated as the so-called standard ruler. It depends on cosmological time, and it doesn't depend, for instance, on cosmological constant, because cosmological constant becomes important only close to us. And if I would calculate, for instance, for the given size, how angular scale, given size of the ruler, linear size of the ruler, how angle under which signal, under which I observe this scale, depends on omega total, then in the universe without cosmological constant, I would find that theta is about 0.87 degrees multiplied by square root of omega total. You see? So it's for the size, or which corresponds to the size of the horizon scale at the moment of recombination. I derive this form. Now, it's clear that, now, it's the location of first Doppler peak. It's clear that measuring the location of first Doppler peak, thus you can determine total omega in the universe without even knowing which component contributes there. You are just measuring the geometry of the universe, because on this geometry depends the relation between given physical scale and angular scale under which you observe. Now, from observation right now, situation is a little bit more complicated. I will tell you why it's so, because thing also depends on omega barium, but this thing could be resolved. Yeah. But roughly speaking, now measuring the location of first Doppler peak, you are determining omega total, and this omega total from the current observations comes to be equal 1, because first Doppler peak is located in the right place with accuracy about 2%. You see? So this is the idea how omega total, roughly, very, very roughly speaking, was determined. Now, as I told you already, let me forget about omega total. Let me take what we expect from inflation and what is in agreement with observation. Now proceed all the rest of the work in the universe, in the flat universe, because this seems much more simple. What is my next task if I want to determine delta T over T? I have to describe how free photons are propagating in curved space-time. Yeah, so free photons. A lot of free photons, just everywhere. How to describe this a lot of free photons? Yeah.
I have a question about that. Can you remind why this angle only depends on omega total? I'm confused because universe was already matter dominated.
Huh?
Universe was already dominated by matter.
So yeah.
Why is theta only dependent on omega total, but why not on omega matter?
There is dependence on omega matter, yeah, but you understand that actually here, for instance, there is H recombination is roughly speaking 2/3 T recombination at this moment of time. For a given scale, you see the only dependence which comes from, I was deriving actually, I derived this formula before. comes from omega total. No, it's, sorry, Kirill. This formula goes only in the universe without cosmological constant. In the case where you have cosmological constant, formula becomes more complicated. But ideally, it's the same. I think I told this thing. So this formula, which I wrote, is valid only when you have dust breakage. You see? And omega total is due to the dust. But in the case when you have extra component, formula becomes more complicated, but idea becomes remains similar. Just I cannot write simple formula, it's the integral, but sensitivity of the angle with respect to omega total remains the same. Yeah? Okay, good. Sorry, it was confused. So, free photons. How we describe collection these of free photons? So it's some little, okay, 3 minutes course on kinetic theory in general relativity. So we describe them with the help of distribution function. So dn is a total number of photons in the phase volume, okay, which I will write like this one, d3xi, d3pj, yeah, can be written down like f, which depends on the moment of time, on special coordinate xi and moment pj multiplied by this volume. So this called is distribution function. What I want to stress, these indices, okay, which carry moment should be so-called covariant indices, not contravariant indices. If you would take here contravariant indices, then you would find that this element, first of all, is not scalar under coordinate transformation. You could verify it, yeah? And second thing, it's not just conserved, yeah, along the trajectory of the particles. So there is no Liouville series for it. So in general relativity, I want to stress here the moment should come with covariant component. It's important thing actually, which you have to recall, and then all the rest, remember all the rest you bring just from the kinetic theory in flat space in general relativity in a very simple way. Now, you could prove theorem that this thing is not only scalar under general coordinate transformation, but it also transforms, it also conserves along trajectory of the photon. How to prove this thing? If you know that this thing is scalar, you just go to coordinate system which is free Fourier coordinate systems and everything like in flat space there, and in flat space to see the proof that this element is conserved, you go to Landau-Lipschitz for instance. Okay? Good. Now, if this element is conserved, this is the number of photons which is also conserved in the absence of scattering for free photons, yeah? Then you write immediately kinetic equation without collision term, yeah, for the distribution function. So it means the total derivative of this thing along the trajectory of the photon should be equal to zero. So total derivative people usually denote like this. So total derivative consists of special derivative, eta, here, then, plus df over dxi, dxi over dt, because you see this statement along geodesic of the photon. So I just have to substitute here x as a function of eta and p as a function of eta, and then differentiate. Plus dpj over dt, d eta, sorry, d eta, then df over dpg, and sum over these indices. And it should be equal to zero. If there would be collisions here, then you would put collision term here. Now, the direction in which photon is propagating, okay, I characterize by 3-vector L, which has, okay, I could write component Li, and how it could be written down in terms of momentum of the photon, 3 momenta, it's clear that direction which photon is propagating, okay, is given by 3 vector L, which is nothing more than just minus P G component divided by P 3 vector, yeah, with this component. So this P magnitude means just square root of P G squared, okay, and sum over G from 1 to 3. Why minus? Because photon comes to us and we look in front of photon. So now, what is the simplest solution of this equation? One of the simplest solutions, which is preserved when I will write this equation, is so-called Maxwell distribution function. You could verify yourself that it will be a solution of this equation if you would write function f, okay, as f bar, which depends on omega over t. I will define what is omega, which is equal to divided by exponent omega divided by t, which depends, t depends, of course, on the position of the observer, moment of time, and depends on the direction in which this observer looks on the sky. Okay, minus 1. This is a photon Einstein Bose distribution function. Factor 2 is because of 2 polarization of the photons. Now, in the universe, I could write t as t0, which depends only on the background, plus small fluctuations delta t, right? And can use this ansatz, and delta t, of course, depends again on x alpha and li, and could consider the case when delta t over t is much smaller than 1, and then substituting this kind of ansatz in this Boltzmann equation, I could derive equation for delta t over t, right? What is omega here? Omega is usually the frequency of the photon which we measure, right? So, if, for instance, we are moving with velocity, for velocity alpha, then what is the frequency which we measure? It could be written as p alpha multiplied by u alpha. Why? Because for us, u alpha is, has component 1, 0, 0, 0, yeah? So, P0 in this case with down indices nothing more than just frequency of the photon. Now, well, this thing could be written as P0 multiplied by U0, or it can be, what is U0 with up indices? What is U0 with up indices? You know that U0, U alpha is normalized. When there is only U0, then it's U0, which is equal G0, 0, if there is no diagonal component, yeah, U0 squared, and from here you have that U0 is 1 divided by square root of G0, 0. For the observer, which is at rest in some coordinate system, okay, where G00 metric is given. Clear. Then, from here, you could write that omega is P0 component of the photon, which we measure divided by square root of G00. This is what we see when we are at rest with respect to some coordinate system, and as this coordinate system, I will use longitudinal for what has to conformal Newtonian coordinate system, the form of which I will recall you. 2 phi d eta squared minus 1 minus 2 phi delta ek dxi dxk. So flat universe. And I will assume that I am at rest with respect to this coordinate. And then I look on the sky, I see this distribution function in direction L, and I know that this omega which comes here could be expressed, okay, in terms of gravitational potential, of course, and in terms of P0 component of the moment. Now, of course, first of all, if I want to derive equation from delta T from this equation, I have to substitute here dxi over d eta for the photon geodesics. How equation for the photon geodesics looks? Okay, you could verify yourself. I will just write your result. For the photon, dxi over di is equal li, direction in which photon propagates, 1 plus 2 phi. You just write geodesic equation, normal geodesic equation. And the other geodesic equation is for this down component of momenta. And this derivative of down component of four moment of the photon can be written down in a nice form like 2p d phi over dx alpha. You see where p, as I told you already, is square root of sum from 1 to 3 of pi squared. So it's three momenta of the photon. Four momenta or p0 could be expressed in terms of these three momenta because for photon p alpha, what exists? Zero, yeah, it has zero mass. So yeah, this distribution function depends on time, position in the space, and three momenta of the photon as independence. And three momenta determine also direction which photon propagates. Now I just take this thing and substitute in this equation. Then what I will get? I will get the df over d eta plus li 1 plus 2 phi df over dxi plus 2 pi p d phi over dxg. Okay, it's dp over d eta, df over dpg is equal to zero. So I did nothing, I just substitute the coefficient geodesic for the photon. And now in this equation, I will substitute the distribution function in this form, yeah? So I will substitute f as a function of omega over t, where omega over t, what was it? So it's Boltzmann, no, Einstein-Basel function, where omega over t is p0 over square root of g00. Yeah, p0 is expressible in terms of three momenta. And then here t, 0 plus delta t. And this expression up to the linear order perturbation of delta t, and also here I substitute metric, okay, in the form 1 plus 2 phi. So in linear order in delta t and phi, this expression could be rewritten after I will express also pi 0 in terms of pi, could be rewritten as p divided by t 0 a, and in brackets 1 plus phi minus delta t over t. Yeah? And this is exponential function, which depends only on one argument. This is the total three momenta, or modulus of three momenta. This is gravitational potential. This is delta t over t, which depends on position in the space, on moment of time, and on the direction. Now I take this ansatz and substitute it here and linearize this Boltzmann equation. And what I will get after that? I will get something very nice. Because in zero order, when I neglect all perturbations, order, what follows from this Boltzmann equation follows that T0A prime is equal to zero. And it's not, by the way, surprising because the dependence on the homogeneous part comes only here. So from here it follows that T0 is inversely proportional to scale factor, the result, okay, which we know already for the background, homogeneous background, which I do not need to explain. In first order in perturbations, it follows from Boltzmann equations that D over D eta plus Li D over DXi delta t over t plus phi is equal, part I took on the right side, to d phi over d eta. Partial derivative with respect to eta. What is this? Why I took something on the right side? Li, what is Li? Is direction, which photon propagates. So what is this? It's total derivative along photon geodesic. You see, so this thing is d over d theta, total derivative along photon geodesic. So you move together this photon and then differentiate, okay? Measure this quantity at two different moments of time and then deal on this. Now, in this dominated universe, which is for sure case after recombination, how gravitational potential behave in all scales? It's constant. Therefore, you could drop this part and would get zero. But of course, I cheat a little bit when I say this thing, yeah? Because even at recombination, there present a little bit radiation, right? Even not a little bit, about 10-15%. And therefore, at the moment of recombination, this gravitational potential is constant, but not completely constant, it's nearly constant. And there is contribution here, which you have to integrate if you want to get this. And these people call the fact that there is derivative, which contributes, call earlier Sachs-Wolff effect. Integrated Sachs-Wolff effect. Integrated because, okay, you should have to write here integral. Now, also, it is a moment when cosmological constant will begin to dominate, gravitational potential again will start to change a little bit, close to us, yeah? And again, you have to take this thing into account and integrate over this change of gravitational potential close to us. It's called late integrated Sachs-Wolff effect. But also this Sachs-Wolff effect contributes, okay, something like 5-10% perhaps in total things, and I'm not so pretentious, so let me forget about them, yeah? Because, okay, I will be interested not in order of magnitude, but in estimate with accuracy 10%. If I will forget about integrated Sachs-Wolff effect and will put zero here, then I can easily find the solution of this equation. This solution is delta t over t plus phi is equal constant along photon geodesics. So you see photon travels, okay, in some direction. What this guy has seen photon, yeah? He sees the delta t over t for the photons which come from the certain direction plus phi, okay, stays constant along its geodesic. Right? And this is so-called Sachs-Wolff effect, because you understand that when you fly from one place, when there, or photon flies from one place where gravitational potential at one value to the other place, then delta t over t will change. But when you know this thing, you could write, you could explicitly write delta t over t at present moment of time, yeah, in terms of delta t over t at the moment of recombination and gravitational potential. But if we want to write this thing, we want to have also photon geodesic solution. Yeah? And this photon geodesic solution is enough for us only in the leading order. So how photon moves, along which trajectory, how it coordinates depends on eta. It's, because we are interested by the photons which arrive today, yeah, to us, its location of the photon at present moment of time, which coincides with our location, and plus direction Li eta minus eta zero. So at present moment of time, photon is located here. Then you know that also along geodesic of the photon, x is proportional to the conformal time, as we did. So along this trajectory, this thing stays constant. Therefore, we can write immediately the following nice formula for the temperature fluctuation today and in certain direction. So, how this formula looks like? So, delta T over T today in our position, in our location, in direction Li, characterized by unit vector, okay, on the sky, is equal delta t over t at the moment of recombination in position xi at r, from which photon arrived, because this combination stays constant along photon geodesic, also in direction Li, plus gravitational potential at the moment of recombination, and there is nothing. And in position xi, which depends, okay, on the moment of recombination, where photon was located, which we detected today, minus gravitational potential today in our position. So it's clear, yeah? So if I will take this thing on the right, then along photon geodesics, okay, this combination stays constant. Where xi, of course, I have to write like there, xi. At the recombination is nothing more than just x0i plus li at r minus at 0. You see? And also here, the same story. Now, what I see in principle? I sit here and look in direction m. Then I change the direction and it's everything what I can do. I cannot change this moment of time. I cannot fly to the other galaxy. Therefore, okay, what can I measure? I can measure only dependence on the temperature on L. Here, is there any dependence on L or not? No, it's so-called manifold component. If I wanted to measure these things, then I have to fly to other galaxies. Therefore, this term doesn't contribute in the angular dependence of the temperature fluctuation, and I will skip. From where angular dependence of the temperature fluctuation comes? From here, because the position of the photon, okay, depends on L, from which it arrives, and also from here, because gravitational potential in the position of the photon, which I observe in the direction L, depends on L, right? So I got this formula, and now phi at the moment of recombination I know. And I expressed already this phi for different scales, for different wavelengths, in terms of initial perturbation spectrum. So what I do not know here, I do not know delta t over t at the moment of recombination. And I have to express this thing in terms of the quantities which I know. Which quantity do I know? I know quantity delta gamma at the moment of recombination, and I know phi at the moment of recombination. And my task now is to write delta t over t at the moment of recombination in the direction L. How can I do it? Ideas. Do you have any ideas? You see, today I cannot do it immediately, but at the moment of recombination, if I know in homogeneities and the distribution of radiation, I can do it. Why? Because I can write energy momentum tensor, which describes photon, as a perfect fluid before recombination. I can write energy momentum tensor for free photons. And clearly, at the moment of recombination, this component of the energy momentum tensor should be discontinuous. No, continuous, of course. So I can use matching condition now to express delta t over t at the moment of recombination through delta gamma. Okay, let me demonstrate shortly, or just to give you an idea, yeah, how it goes. Who knows what is energy momentum tensor for the collection of free photons? Don't feel any complexes. I also have no idea what this is. So, but look, You can find it in Miser Torn-Wheeler, for instance. 2 divided by square root of minus g, the distribution function f, p alpha, p beta, divided by p 0, and over d 3 pi. D 3 pi is actually this low component, energy moment of tensor. And you could substitute here now Boltzmann distribution, Einstein Quasi distribution function, where it was also linearized small perturbation, substitute metric, and then for instance for T00 component, you will get that it's proportional, okay, better to say like this one, it's proportional to, well, let me write exactly, yeah. T04 integral 1 plus 4 delta T over T0, the distribution function, okay, for which depends on omega over T, which I will denote by Y. Quantity there, Y cube, dy, d2l. L is direction on the sky. Now, I will compare this energy momentum tensor with the component which I had before for perfect fluid. Yeah? And what was this component? For T0, T00, it was, of course, for perfect fluid, for photons, it was epsilon gamma 1 plus delta gamma, right? I go in Fourier space, compare these two things, and then I will get in Fourier space, when I will be comparing these things, that delta T over T for mode K, because I explained also the thing in X, yeah, for the temperature, in the direction L, at the moment of recombination, can be written down as 1/4 delta K radiation plus 3i over K squared Km Lm delta K prime prime derivative of the fluctuation of radiation, time derivative. So this term is the proportional to the velocities of the photon fluid. And therefore, it's considered, it's called Doppler contribution to the fluctuations. But of course, to get this formula, I also compare the other component and went to Fourier space. But the fact is that now I have expressed delta T over T at the moment of recombination in terms of delta radiation, okay, which I calculated before with the help of this transfer function, yeah, and expressed in terms of the original after equation respective. And therefore, as a result, what I am getting when I will take this expression, substitute it here, and go in Fourier space, what I will get for delta T over T in terms of the original, not spectra and recombination. For delta T over T at zero in our position, at the moment in direction L, I am getting after going to Fourier space, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not sure I understand your notation. What is 3i?
What is that i? I is just unit, how's it called, imaginary i.
Okay.
It's because I went to Fourier space and you have e capitals, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just i. In Fourier, for Fourier component, it's okay.
And then the last delta, what is that?
Delta is the same delta k radiation, but derivative of this delta with respect to conformal time. You see? And this term is proportional to the velocities with which liquid or photons move. Yeah?
It's complex now. Why is it not complex?
Now complex because it's Fourier component. It's Fourier harmonic. Fourier harmonic or real function also is complex, yeah?
Well, there's still a prime on it, so he has not calculated it.
Where?
On the time.
Here.
Yes. This is not a prime.
No, there is prime. Yeah, but what? Yeah, right. It's okay. You take suggested equation, take Fourier harmonic, okay? Derivative substitutes that you are getting like. So now I am getting what this thing should be real. Okay, then you are getting the formula for delta t over t direction L on today's sky. It's given by phi plus delta over 4, okay, for mode k. You understand that phi came from here and delta over 4 came from here. So, plus minus 3 delta k prime over k squared. And here let me write differential operator d over d at 0. Taking at the moment at a recombination. Multiplied by exponent, and what I have in exponent, I have I k x 0 plus L eta recombination minus eta 0, and here I have d 3 k over 2 pi in power 3 over 2.
So what does it mean, d over?
So it means that this term acts on this exponent because eta 0 comes only here, or you could write instead of this term simply EKL. Yeah? It's all. Why I wrote this thing you will see in a minute, because I need sometimes to separate these operators, and after that, actually, I could use some smart decomposition because I will get. Right now for you the formula for the multiples. But it's clear how this formula came. It's Sachs-Wolff effect without integrated Sachs-Wolff effect, yeah? Plus matching condition at recombination, then what I did, I express the temperature which I see in direction L today in terms of gravitational potential and energy density fluctuation for the radiation at the moment of recombination. And spectra for this thing we know, yeah? So you see relation. Because this phi k and delta k could be expressed in terms of the initial original spectrum after inflation. But of course, these fluctuations are random. It's random Gaussian process. If you would average all these temperature fluctuations over the whole sky, then you would find that average of delta t over t is equal to zero, right? So how to characterize the typical amplitude in different scale? You have to write correlation function, correct? Mm-hmm. Or you have to square the quantity and then take average. So what we measure, in fact? We measure the following thing. We measure delta t over t, and then take square of this thing, and then after that, take expectation value. So what is this? It's t. Right. So can I remove this already? People who wanted to copy it, and people who didn't, they will buy my book, OK? So we measure. What is this square temperature? It's temperature measured in direction L1 minus temperature measured in direction L2. Yeah? There. Divided by t0 squared, and then take expectation value. So what you do? You have two antenna, which point in direction t1, L1 and L2. You keep between this antenna angle theta. And then you measure temperature like this one, square it, then go to the other place, keeping the same angle, square it, et cetera, and then average over the whole sky. And this whole thing, when you know this relation, in principle could be expressible in terms of the original spectrum. Now, how to write this thing? This thing can be written down, of course, if you square the thing, can be written down in terms of, okay, I will define it, C0 and minus C theta, where C theta is correlation function. Yeah, so it's a measurable quantity where C theta is delta t over t in that zero in direction L1, and delta t over t zero in direction L2. Okay, expectation value. So you understand that what we measure could be expressed in terms of correlation functions.
So what is the analytical definition of this averaging procedure?
Analytical definition I will tell you in a minute. Yeah, because if I would do analytically what people do observationally, it would be nightmare for me. You see? As you understand. Why? Because what people measure, they look at the sky, keep to antenna, and then find this correlation function roughly speaking. Yeah? Now, how to calculate this correlation function? Good question. You take this horrible expression, it's already semi-horrible, yeah? It should be this exponent, etc., etc., etc. Then substitute them together. Yeah? Write this thing and then average. But over angles, you cannot average. Right? Because it would be horrible. Especially for the large multiples. You do not know how to average over angles. What can you do instead of averaging over angles? If you want to get properties of this function, assuming that it's completely a random process. You could average, instead of averaging over angles, average over your position. Assume that you have many universes, right? Or you could live in many universes. You could fly in this universe, yeah? Patterns here are different, but you look always in these two directions. Then, in principle, if everything is random, the result which you will get here after averaging over position would be equivalent to the result which you have to get, or close to the result which you will get after averaging over the whole sky.
So you assume you have Gaussian results?
Of course. Because otherwise it's just not manageable. You see? Also, you understand that the thing becomes also uncertain because for large multiples you have only finite number of representatives. So I will tell about this. So what you do now, you substitute this delta t over t in this formula for 2L, yeah? This delta t over t with all the expression. Then average over your position. And average over positions is the same thing as averaging over random Gaussian fields, for instance. So you could write like phi k over phi k prime expectation value for Fourier component like phi k squared delta k plus k prime. You see? It's a definition of independent random Gaussian process. So it will be also equivalent to the averaging over the position of the observer. So if you substitute and do the things like this one, then integrate over angle variable, the result which you will get will look really a little bit long, but also very nice. So what it will be? What it will be? For C theta, yeah, this correlation function, you will get the following result. It will be integral phi plus delta over 4. Let me skip k, yeah, here, because we assume that it depends on k. Minus 3 delta prime over 4k squared d over d eta 1. I will define everything, don't worry, in a minute, and then we will finish for today. Then k multiplied by phi plus delta over 4 minus 3 delta prime over 3 k squared d over d eta 2 complex conjugated here, yeah, and then multiply it by psi k absolute value of L1 at 1, its vector, 3 vector, minus L2 at 2, and here magnitude, divided by k magnitude L1 at 1 minus L2 at 2. Okay, and here still k squared dk over 2 pi squared. And after differentiation here, you have to set eta 1 is equal eta 2 is equal eta 0. But after differentiation.
It's 3/4, right?
Huh?
It's 3/4, right?
Here, 3/4, yeah. So you see, formula, in fact, you will get, if you substitute, so don't think that it's horrible, and integrate over the angle, assuming that everything, okay, you will get it in 3 minutes. It's not a big deal. And now, what I will do, I will just use nice formula from some, how it's called, this book on special function, to write this sign divided by this thing in terms of, how it's called, Legendre polynomial, and spherical basic function. So you go, what is the famous book, which is most used for the special functions? I refer to Grashstein,
yeah.
Because because of patriotic feeling, I do not know, but in fact,
well,
you can find...
Yeah.
Right. But it's in every book of analytical functions that this sinus divided by k could be written in horrible form, okay, which looks like this one. It's L from 0 till infinity, 2L plus 1, then GL K eta 1 GL K eta 2 and then multiplied by Legendre polynomial which depends on cosinus theta. GL is so called spherical Bessel function. And now you understand why I wrote this horrible formula, because I want to write for C theta something like analog of Fourier transform, but on the sphere. And analog of Fourier transform on the sphere, what is this? It's expansion in terms of spherical harmonics. Yeah? Just, okay, instead of two-dimensional Fourier transform, it's a curved sphere, therefore you use spherical harmonics, which are orthogonal. And therefore, after you substitute this thing to here, you will get the formula for correlation function in the following form. It will be 1 divided by over 4 pi. So C theta will be 1 divided by 4 pi. Sum over 2L plus 1 CL PL theta. Where CL is given by the following expression. Where CL is given by the following expression. Now everything looks again nice. So it's 2 divided by pi, integral absolute value 5k plus delta k over 4. Multiplied by GL, so it's taken at the moment of recombination, k at 0, spherical harmonics, minus 3 delta k prime at recombination divided by 4k, dGL, which depends on k at 0, differentiated by dk at 0, k squared, okay, so here squared, k squared, dk. So, you see, now I have written down the coefficient in the expansion of correlation function, yeah, over spherical harmonics in terms of the original spectral perturbation at inflation, not inflation, recombination, which would be expressed in terms of the spectrum after inflation. Very good. What is L multiplied by L plus 1 CL. It's a typical temperature fluctuation in the angular scales theta, which is P divided by L. It's analog of two-dimensional Fourier transform, for instance, 5k squared. In three dimensions, it would be k cubed. So here, instead of k, comes L. And here, roughly speaking, is L squared. So this is the quantity which characterizes typical amplitude of fluctuations in the given angular scale, P divided by L. Very good. Now, before we finish, two words about cosmic variance, because when I will measure all these things, when I will find these Fourier harmonics, in fact, and then I will compare what I found with the result of my calculation. Will it be coinciding or not? Not because what I measure on the sky is not what I calculated here. Why? No, because I cheated you, I didn't fly to the other universe. Yeah? And I looked on the different directions. Now, and when I look on the different directions, if there would be infinite number of universes, of course, then I could take multiple. Then there is one representative of quadrupole, yeah? Second representative, third infinite number of universes, and then after averaging, I would get expectation value of this random Gaussian process. But when I look within my sky, how many multiples I could see within sky? Only five, yeah? And it's also when I'm happy and don't care about this dirt or dust in galactic plane, etc. And if I see only five representatives, yeah, of something, is it enough to make statistic? It's enough to make bad statistic, because for five representatives, you see the typical error will be 50%, because typical error in the temperature fluctuations because of this finite choice of the thing, okay, for quadrupole will be 1 divided by square root of 5. If I will take multiple 20, yeah, then how many representatives of this guy I have inside my sky? Only about 41 years, yeah? And 1 divided by square root of 41 is again 15%. And this is so-called cosmic variance. But if I go to multiple thousand, then, okay, there I could have statistic, whatever you want. Therefore, people, when they usually draw this nice curve, yeah, like this one, draw so-called cosmic variance. What does it mean, this cosmic variance? Okay, like this one, which goes like this one. You see, cosmic variance means just that you don't have enough representative to compare the measurement, okay, with the statistical average. And this is not enough representative, especially bad for the quadrupole. And for large multiple, it becomes less and less. But you understand that, for instance, here, the cosmic variance is larger than here. And if you will look W mark data, then you will see this bloody cosmic variance, because on the right left side of the peak, the scattering of the point is much larger than on the right side of the peak, because of this inevitable cosmic variance. And I also cheated line on page, because you know that when they were doing this first W mark release, they were more secret than CIA and FBI and KGB taken together. So, and they even didn't inform some people who were assumed to help them. And I was at this time at Princeton. Once I came to Lyman and told him, Lyman, look, today I have seen some in my dream that the point are scattered on the left side of the peak much more than on the right side of the peak. And of course, there was no this picture. And he said, look how cosmic variance worked. I am also myself impressed. But you see, just I don't know even why I said this. But you understand that people have seen this kind of thing. Now, there was the other thing about which I also want to comment. There was this quadrupole component measurement which came somewhere here. If you close all the point, take cosmic variance, then you would find that probability for this quadrupole come to the place where it came is 5%. So when you play in casino, 5% probability perhaps is not so. little, right? So, but people made out of this 5% a lot of fuss in New York Times. Some people started to write about non-trivial topology of our universe, etc., etc., etc. Why? Because in the first release of WMAP data, unfortunately, there was not only one mistake in interpretation, not in the result, you see, don't worry. There were many mistakes. And one of the mistakes was the estimate for coming this point down. And this estimate was 1 divided by 600. And then everybody, of course, believed. And for instance, George Stauffer wrote a nice paper how to explain this low quadrupole, okay, in some model where you stop inflation for some short moment of time and then continue even faster. And then, one day, on AstroPage, there appeared two papers. One with a nice explanation by George Stauffer of this low quadrupole, and the other paper was that, in fact, you don't need to explain this low quadrupole. And then I asked him how it could be that you wrote two papers and put at the same day, okay, these contradictive conclusions. You see, because I couldn't even understand. Then George explained me that he wrote this paper explaining why quadrupole is so low and have sent it to monthly notice, perhaps. And then he got great support from referee, the only one remark that he has to justify the significant statement. Statistical significance of this low quadrupole. And then he started to think and then discovered that instead of 1 over 600, we have only 1 over 20. And he has sent this second paper, yeah, to the same journal, and the other referee was furious about it. So a good paper was rejected, and bad paper was accepted immediately. You see, and he put these two papers the same day on AstroPage. You know, but of course, now there is a lot of noise for some people who perhaps have nothing to do, I mean theories, about so-called alignment of low L things. You see? So it's somewhere here. But you understand that this is very uncertain region because cosmic variance is there, first of all. But this is not the problem with alignment. You see? For the low quadrupole, there are so-called a lot of foreground effects which influence your observation. And when people still, until now, see the difference between north and south sky, it doesn't mean that the universe is anisotropic, as some people think about it, yeah? Okay, it just means that experimentalists cannot find the good way to read of this systematic thing for the low multiples. Therefore, okay, when theorists try exotic models like Kasner, 7B universe to explain difference between south and north sky, and their papers actually written by some respectable people, okay, my friends, and when I send a message and ask Chris, how could you do it, yeah, I got furious answer. Did you had direct conversation with God, why actually you don't like my Kasner 7B model, yeah, for explanation of this thing, you see? It's not because I don't like that anymore, but because it sounds like absurd. So, here, this region, perhaps, is not very good to extract precise information about the spectrum, because of cosmic variance and because of systematics. In spite of the fact that here, in this region, we would expect to have the cleanest information, not transferred information. You see, but fortunately or unfortunately, to extract even precise information about primordial spectra, we have to go to the region of large multipoles where systematics is under much better control, first of all. And second thing, there is no cosmic variance here, and precision is good enough. On one side, it's bad news because primordial spectra is spoiled. On the other side, it's good news. Because spoiling of primordial spectra depends on the other cosmological parameters. You see, because these perturbations or this part of the spectrum is due to the perturbations which evolved, not just the frozen after inflation. And how they evolve depends on the other cosmological parameters. And measuring this thing very precise, we extract not only shape of the initial spectrum, but also we'll measure omega m, omega b, and theta. Therefore, okay, there are no bad things without good things, or vice versa, yeah? Better to say, which follow from that. So next time I derive, okay, beginning from this formula, spectra here, and then consider how peak depends, location, et cetera, depends on various cosmological parameters. And plus, what I will do, I will explain, okay, also at some kind of elementary level, like today, the origin of polarization of the background radiation, and will tell you why, for instance, with the polarization, we perhaps will be able in next 5 years to detect primordial gravitational waves, okay? But next lecture is the last lecture. Okay, thank you.